sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Egypt, which has clinched the overall All-Africa Games medal title in Congo Brazzaville. Heading into Friday's action, the Egyptian team had an unbeatable 193 medals, including 76 gold. Athletics action wrapped up Thursday at the new Kintele Stadium in Brazzaville. Mark Ouma reports.
Eritrean world record holder Zerzene Tadesa won men's half marathon on the last day of the athletics competition on Thursday. Ethiopian Mamitu Daska triumphed in the women's race. On the track, Aureol Dongmo won women's shot put in a Cameroon national record of 17.21 meters. Ivory Coast's Kofi Wilfred Hua and Marie-Jose Talou won men's and women's 200 meters respectively. Egypt's Ihab Abdelrahman El Sayed and both Botswana's Kabelo Hosimang triumphed in men's javelin and high jump respectively. Ethiopians Getane Mola and Dawit Seyaum prevailed in men's 5,000 meters and women's 1,500 meters respectively. Nigeria bagged gold medals through men's long jumper Samson Idiata, Amaka Ogoegbonam in women's 400 meter hurdles and the women's 4x400 meter relay. Kenya set a men's 4x400 meter relay championship record of 3 minutes and 0.34 seconds. The old mark of 3 minutes and 0.55 seconds was run by Nigeria in Nairobi, Kenya in 1987. I'm Mark Ouma, wishing you all a sporty weekend.
Thanks, Mark, and wishing you a sporty weekend, too. Zimbabwe's Kirsty Coventry once again lived up to her Golden Girl nickname during the All-Africa Games swimming competition in Congo Brazzaville. The two-time Olympic champion won 3 gold medals as well as a bronze in Brazzaville. Since first diving in the pool in Algiers in 2007, Kirsty has posted a spectacular All-Africa Games record, a total of 22 medals won, including 14 gold. During a brief stop here in Washington, Kirsty talked with reporter Blessing Zulu about her performance in Brazzaville.
It's been an honor to represent Zimbabwe at the All-Africa Games, and I was just very thankful that I was able to go there and do as well as I did.
Tell us, how do you prepare for such events?
We had prepared a month ago for the World Championship, and I had found some good times. So I knew coming into this that I'd be a little bit weaker because it's a little bit harder to stay so focused strength-wise for 3 weeks later. But we just did a good job of training and getting back into the pool as soon as we could. And, I think I was also just really excited. This is my last All Africa Games, so it gave me the opportunity to not leave any energy outside of the pool. Everything was put into that every race.
So you cannot be convinced to try and go?
I don't think so. I think, I've said all along that Rio Olympics will be my last big international competition. And it was very sad. It did take me a little bit by surprise how emotional I got saying goodbye to the team, being on the podium for the last time in Africa. It's always been such a big part of my career.
Let's turn to Rio 2016 at the 2004 Summer Olympics in Athens, Greece. You won 3 Olympic medals. And in 2008 at the Summer Olympic Games in Beijing, you won 4 medals. Are we going to see another repeat this time in Rio?
That's always the goal. The goal is to always, try to get onto the podium. Unfortunately, in London 2012, I dislocated my knee 4 months before and then got pneumonia 2 months before. I still managed to come sixth, but it was just short of my goal. And so I felt that I wanted to give it one more chance. It is going to be challenging. There are a lot of very good swimmers swimming at the moment, especially in my event. So I'm looking forward to the challenge in the year ahead.
You have also been working with schools in Zimbabwe to promote swimming. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so I've set up a Kirsty Coventry Academy, and right now we're working with a school, Mother's Touch, and we've coached some teachers to become swimming coaches, and there's about 450 children going through the program, which we're very excited about.
Are we likely to see another Kirsty very soon?
I hope so. You know, there are a lot of young swimmers coming up. You know, the talent is there, and now we just need the support and the funding to make sure that we continue to support our athletes.
Lastly, I know you insist that you don't only represent Zimbabwe, but Africa. What is your message to your fans?
Just thank you so much. You know, I've really been so lucky to have so many amazing fans, not just in Africa, but around the world, and Zimbabweans that are everywhere. You know, through sport, I've managed to keep us all linked together. And I think that's something that's really amazing that sport does. And just, you know, thank you so much for your support over the years.
That's Zimbabwean swimming star Kirsty Coventry. Kirsty won 4 medals, 3 of them gold, at the All Africa Games in Congo Brazzaville. And she was talking with reporter Blessing Zulu during a brief stop here in Washington. Our African football guru, David Legg, joins us again this evening for a look at recent African goal-scoring highlights in Europe.
Yes, Sonny, and I'm pleased to report plenty of goals. It's always nice to see African scorers in the English Premier League. The English Premier League is the most followed league in Africa. It seems whether you're in Nairobi, whether you're in Accra, whether you're in Lagos, Abuja, Dar es Salaam, wherever you are, Sonny, one of the first questions people ask you is, who do you support in the English Premier League? I'm still supporting Liverpool, Sonny, but they're testing me a lot these days with some of their performances. Anyway, Manchester City, I'm proud to say, Kelechi Iheanacho. He's a Nigerian. He came on very late in the game, but just 60 seconds after he arrived on the pitch, he scored a goal that gave City a 1-0 victory at Crystal Palace. Well done for him. And completing a great weekend for Nigerians in England, Odion Ighalo, he scored for Watford, and that proved to be also the match winner. 1-0 victory for Watford over Swansea City. Now, Swansea had made a great start to the season, unbeaten after 4 matches. They held Chelsea in London. They beat Manchester United at home. So well done, Watford, a promoted club. And it was Ighalo's goal that inflicted on Swansea their first defeat of the season. Riyad Mahrez is another person we've mentioned a lot recently on the Sunny Side of Sport. He's French-born, but he plays for Algeria because his parents come from the North African country. And he's with Leicester City, who've made a great start. And they, last weekend, made a superb comeback. 2 goals down at home to Aston Villa. They came back to win 3-2. Mahrez did not score, but he assisted in all 3 goals. And that, to me, is almost as important as scoring. It's nice to be able to create goals as well. And not forgetting, in his first 3 matches, Mahrez scored 4 goals for Leicester City, who are known as the Foxes. And that's quite interesting, Sonny, because he, of course, plays for Algeria, and they're known as the Desert Foxes. In Spain, Cedric Bakumba, who is from the Democratic Republic of Congo, he scored for Villarreal in a 3-1 victory at Granada. No African goals in Italy, but some in France. Majid Waris, he's a Ghanaian international. He scored for Lorient. And although he didn't score any goals, Vincent Nyema, the veteran Nigeria goalkeeper, he was outstanding for Lille in preventing goals being scored by Lyon. Because of the great performance of Nyema, Lille were able to force a 0-0 draw at Lyon. And Lille, Sonny, are now coached by none other than Hervé Renard. He is the only coach to have guided two different countries to the Africa Cup of Nations title, 2012. He caused a sensation when he guided Zambia to victory over Ivory Coast. And much more recently, this year, in fact, he guided Ivory Coast to victory over Ghana, both, incidentally, after penalty shootouts. Goals and Germany, and you think immediately of Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, the Gabonese striker and runner-up in the most recent African Footballer of the Year poll behind Yaya Toure of Ivory Coast. Now, Aubameyang has been on fire in the Bundesliga. He scored a brace against Hanover, both from the penalty spot, and he has now managed five goals, which is just one less than the leading scorer, Thomas Müller of Bayern Munich. And another African scorer in Germany was Anthony Ucha. He's a Nigerian, and he scored for Werder Bremen in a 3-1 win over Hoffenheim. So no doubt, Sonny, in the past weekend, lots of African sharpshooters in Europe coming from Nigeria. So congratulations to them. And that's a real boost for Sunday Elise. He needs some sharpshooters because in their most recent Cup of Nations game, they failed to score in Tanzania, a 0-0 draw, and they're now trailing Egypt by 2 points in the group of death.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. Just ahead on the Sunny Side of Sports, my VOA colleagues Tef Tef and Downtown Brown will talk about Manchester United's 19-year-old French phenom, Anthony Martial.
Hey, so this is VOA's Downtown Brown.
And this is Tef Tef.
So the main question is, Anthony Martial the real deal?
I think he's absolutely the real deal. Because, again, it's very hard to judge off two games.
Very true.
The first game, he came in for 20, 30 minutes. He scored the goal that settled the game. So yeah. It was pretty amazing. Against Liverpool, turned two defenders inside out.
Oh, my goodness. Made his ankles into water real quick.
Skirtle almost lost it. And the thing is, the best thing about this is a young guy who has given United fans excitement. Maybe it's just me, but he got the ball, and the way he ran at people, from now on, yeah, I can expect him to do something, because we haven't been doing that. We passed the ball side to side.
Yeah.
It's kind of boring under Van Gaal, but he just gave us excitement. So.
I mean, even when he was playing AS Monaco, a lot of stuff that he did kind of looked like he was playing for Man U. So a lot of the moves he was doing,
exactly,
a lot
very
of
pacey.
The runs. The intelligence between him and the defenders were incredible.
Which is something that's been lacking. Rooney has been a midfielder striker, and I think he's a little too old to make those runs.
Yeah.
So he is this guy who can play in front of Rooney and actually make a difference.
Yeah, and he's number nine, so I'm expecting.
And he wanted the number nine.
He's expecting to actually show up, so I'm hoping he can do that now.
Let's hope so. We got Southampton again this weekend. We'll see. 90 minutes he played against.
So the end of the season, how many goals do you think you'll have?
I think that's a decent number. But yeah. I think it's going to be in between 10 and 20. I'm not going to say 20. 20 plus would make him a phenom.
Okay.
But I think
his
between 10 and 20.
His crossing ability is actually underrated. I don't know if you've seen that. Lobbing.
I haven't.
It's actually really good. I was watching
some
of the videos.
That's good to know. Because, playing off Rooney, you could probably get a couple passes in for him.
And he actually picks his head up when he's going and actually attacking,
yes,
which is really hard
again,
to find.
His dribbling, 19. So we'll see how long
he has. He has a lot to actually achieve. Yep. So we'll see what happens down the road. I mean, he's not anybody from...
Well, he's no Welbeck. He's better.
I was actually about to say that. I was about to say
he's
a Welbeck.
He's better than Welbeck. You know that. This is the real Henri, not the Welbeck Henri.
Absolutely. Why you got to take shots on my team, man?
I can't help but look at that jersey.
You see, which jersey is better, mine or his? Don't have to say anything. It's mine. Okay? Don't worry about it.
Put your comments below.
I'm VOA's Downtown Brown.
And I'm Tef Tef.
Have a great weekend, you guys.
This is Africa. Samina, mina, waka, waka, Samina, mina, sakalewa. This time for Africa.
I'm very, 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 very.
excited. Ngijabulile.
Hola. Cause this is Africa. Tamina mina. Hey, hey. Waka waka. Hey, hey. Tamina mina. Sakalewa. This time for Africa.
Now let's go to New York City. Many of New York's diverse African immigrants have brought their love of football to the city's grassroots leagues. Soccer, or football, is a way to hone sports skills prized in their African homelands, build community between groups of different national origins, and for the most talented, perhaps forge a path to financial success for oneself and one's family. VOA's Adam Phillips has this feature for us from New York.
It's late on a golden Sunday afternoon in Harlem, which is located on the northern part of Manhattan Island. The African Association League championship game between Mali in red jerseys and Burkina Faso in blue is underway. Boubacar Sarre, who emigrated from Mali just 8 months ago, is about to take the field.
I'm very happy to play, to give my best for my team.
Does this remind you of home? Is there a lot of soccer, football at home?
Yes, a lot of soccer play at home. Sometimes I feel alone because my family live over there in Mali, so sometimes I miss them. I feel so alone, but when I play the soccer game, I feel better. I feel like $1 million.
But Sarre says he's also grateful to be in America, challenges and all.
I go to school to meet many friends and I learn English. That was my dream before, to come to the United States and I can make money to support my family over there.
Aboubakar Sakho plays forward for the Burkina Faso team. He says he and some of his teammates hope one day to support their families through football, which is called soccer in the U.S. He keeps watch for talent scouts.
First of all, we gotta work to support our family back in the country. And at the same time, our dream is to be a professional soccer player and play in the big team like Real Madrid or something like that. But we gotta start from the bottom first and trying to join small team, even college. Because I play for a college team.
So that's a way of doing your passion, but doing it the American way, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Mali-born Amidou Haidera is president of the African Association League, which organized today's competition. He agrees that football or soccer is a promising pathway to success for some immigrants.
Well, I hope so, but you know, we not doing it for, you know, to gain something out of it. We just like try to, you know, get people involved, you know, do a little exercise. That's it. Get together, get to know each other. That's the most important thing, you know. I'm from Mali. As you can see, like Mali is playing against Burkina. Because Ivory Coast was participating. Senegal, Guinea, you know, Sierra Leone, there was other teams, you know. It's not only Mali, just like the whole African nations. We all one family, big family, happy family, you know. We do things together, you know. It's about community, the whole community, not Mali, but the whole African community.
Saka Bagayan coaches the Burkina Faso team. He says he gets community building lessons from the sport that can also help him off the field.
For instance, I'm in financial services, and I learned about leadership by being here and leading these guys. And it's very difficult to lead these guys. And I learned a lot of patience, empathy, and which is great. And I take it to my career.
And what do they think they're learning?
I think they're learning to be part of a team, to be a team player, this guy. And they're also learning to accept each other, which is valuable. They take it within, similarly to their job.
Mohamed Touré, another coach, says that camaraderie and community are already familiar features of many African cultures. In contrast, he says, American culture generally takes an every man for himself approach in work and in play.
Yes, everybody depends on about yourself. Back home, it's not like this. You know, then making sure you know everybody okay. Player, yeah, somebody got injured, then everybody have to collect money, then give it to that person. We are, you know, try to have it like family.
Philosophy aside, the game continued. And while neither team scored, Mali took the trophy for winning more games than other teams in the league during the 2015 season. To judge by the ready handshakes and easy laughter between players at the end, the league's common goal of camaraderie, fellowship, and sport was achieved. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is VOA's Adam Phillips in New York.
Yeah, I'm out that room.
Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus. Driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my top. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from
Undefeated American boxing star Floyd Mayweather recently announced his retirement after a unanimous decision victory over Andre Berto. I asked our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Mueta, do you think the retirement will stick?
He talked about self-preservation before the fight, and then after the fight, he talked about retiring from the ring. I think for now, officially, he's retired. And will this stick? We will know when it comes 2016.
Namdi, you were ringside in Vegas. What did you think of the money man's performance?
It was a superb performance. I mean, he went into the fight with the mentality of hit and don't be hit. This man has really shown us that it's not all about getting knocked out and blood and bruise or fighting macho fight. He made it look very easy, you know. I mean, his defense was still airtight, but he got hit a couple of times. At this age, he will be 39, early part of 2016. The body's telling him it's time to let go. It's time to move away. He's got $800 million in the bank.
Namdi, let's listen in now to what Mayweather had to say at the post-match press conference.
You get to a certain level to where you can't buy nothing anymore. You know, you can't get moved by a Rolls Royce, or you can't get moved by a car. When you got everything, there's nothing else you can get moved by. And I've accomplished everything in the sport. So now it's time for me to help these young fighters break my record. I want to see my records broken. Of course, I want to be a part of it. I'm just blessed.
Namdi, we heard Mayweather say he's going to work with younger fighters. Do you think that's his plan for now, to develop younger fighters?
Well, he needs to count his money. He needs to be able to count his money first, you know. Developing his stable is one thing. He's going to travel, and then he's going to develop fighters to come and see who can fill his shoes. But it's not going to be easy. I mean, he'll be bored. He will want to be in the limelight. He will want to be there at the fights, and he will want to go back to the gym and train. So for now, he's retired. But when we go into the spring of 2016, and then look at what Manny Pacquiao will do with American, then we can then look back and say, is he really retired?
49-0 after this unanimous decision victory over Andre Berto ties the mark held by the late, great heavyweight Rocky Marciano. Don't you think 50 sounds better than 49, Namdi?
50 sounds better, and 50 comes with huge money, because with 50, with 50, we're talking about the rematch with Manny Pacquiao. Mind you, the numbers are finally together now for that first one with Manny Pacquiao. He walked away with almost $300 million, you know, so can you imagine how much he will get in the second fight, the rematch? So 50-0 sounds great, and nobody can touch 50-0. Nobody can even touch 49-0. Let's be realistic. Yes, honey.
Namdi, let's talk numbers for Berto. What were the pay-per-view numbers?
The first pay-per-view numbers was 550,000 to 600,000 pay-per-view buy. And then looked at times $80. So that is still big money. He only paid Andre Berto $4 million. The rest of the money, he will keep it because he is also the promoter. So on the back end, he gets lots of money. Guaranteed, he made $32 million on paper for Uncle Sam. But at the end of it, he goes home with a lot of more.
Namdi, in the build-up to the fight, you said the MGM Grand Arena might not sell out. What was the final gate?
The final gate was 13,395, but the house was full. This is a venue that holds 17,000, which means the house was papered. You know, when we say papered in the house, which means the casino gave away free tickets to high rollers and people that work in the casino. So the house was full and it was papered house.
At this stage, Namdi, where do you rate Mayweather in boxing history?
In boxing history, Sonny, I think he will be number one. And I mean it. Fans of Muhammad Ali will not be happy to hear me say this because he's walking away being the best pound-for-pound fighter of the sports, the biggest pay-per-view star, the best welterweight, a global star, Sonny. I believe it's going to be hard for us to find anybody that will come close. My number one pick, ahead of Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali, and Andy Chavez, all those people, Floyd Money Mayweather.
You know, I face all the top guys in the sport of boxing. You know, to be in a sport for 19 years and to be world champion 18 years, I had a remarkable career. Every champion, Ali, Sugar Ray Robinson, Sugar Ray Leonard, and so many legendary champions, Larry Holmes, and the list goes on and on, that opened up the doors to pave the way for me to be where I'm at today. I'm appreciative. But these young fighters that's in the audience, they know the truth. Them fighters say, we want to be like Mayweather.
Floyd Mayweather. And our VOA listeners can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And here's a Sunny Side of Sports birthday shout out for Felix Ukwe, one of my Facebook friends, who is celebrating a birthday this Friday evening in Warri, Nigeria. Happy birthday, Felix. You can also follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. I got a tweet from Toyin Ibitoye, one of my Twitter friends in Lagos, Nigeria. Toyin is the host of Sports Tonight, which you can view on Channels Television, our partner in Nigeria. If you tuned in on Thursday evening, Toyin and I talked about Floyd Mayweather. We also talked about the Nigerian football club Sunshine Stars. The Stars facing some disciplinary action recently, as well as Kai Kamara, the Sierra Leonean striker for the Columbus Crew in Major League Soccer. Kamara is having a fantastic season in MLS. He has a league-leading 20 goals, by far his best MLS season. Kamara's previous high in terms of goal scoring was 11 goals 3 years ago when he played for Sporting Kansas City. Well, the 20-team Rugby World Cup is kicking off this evening in London. 2003 World Cup champion England is facing Fiji in the opening match at Twickenham Stadium. Neighbors Namibia and South Africa will represent Africa in the Rugby Fiesta, which will culminate October 31st when the final is played, also at Twickenham Stadium. Namibia is in Pool C for the Rugby World Cup, along with Georgia, Tonga, Argentina, and New Zealand. The Namibians will play two-time World Cup champion New Zealand September 24th in their opening match at Olympic Stadium in London. The Springboks of South Africa, like the All Blacks of New Zealand, well, they're two-time World Cup champions, having lifted the trophy in 1995 and 2007. The Springboks are in Pool B, along with Samoa, Scotland, Japan, and the United States. I don't think those leaping Springboks will have any trouble getting out of that group and advancing to the knockout stages. The South Africans will play Japan Saturday in their opening match in Brighton, England. Organizers of this Rugby World Cup say it'll be the best and biggest ever. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Sule Terawali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone, And that's the sunny side of sports.